Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
But I'm just saying that you don't confess your sins, you confess your faith in Jesus, is what Paul told the Philippian jailer. It's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And so, this scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, is the only scripture that I'm aware of in the New Testament where it tells you to confess your sin, and if you do, then God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if that's true, which that's in my study, unless I've missed something, that's true and accurate. Well, here's another point. Jesus even quoted this. He says, in the mouth of two or in the mouth of three witnesses, let everything be established. It is wrong Bible interpretation to take one scripture out of the Bible and make a huge doctrine out of it. And yet I can guarantee you that this verse right here is probably one of the best known scriptures in the Bible, and it's the only instance in the New Testament where it tells you to confess your sins and then God's faithful and just to forgive you. So that right there makes it suspect, the interpretation of it, the way that it is. If your forgiveness is conditional upon you confessing everything again, that's impractical. It's impossible for you to keep every sin confessed. Again, I use this. I know that I'm countering a lot of tradition, and there are some of you that are thinking some rotten thoughts about me. You have said some nasty things in your mind about me, and you know what? I'm your brother, and I'm probably going to have my mansion next to yours in heaven. And you know what? Many of you don't even recognize that that's wrong, but you're thinking some things about me that you shouldn't be thinking about me. You know what? That's sin. That we sin in so many ways that we aren't even aware of. This is impractical to think that you have to keep every single sin confessed. You know, here's what I believe that this verse is simply talking about. Again, when you get born again, you receive eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:12, which is forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. You receive eternal inheritance, Hebrews 9:15. You are vacuum-packed, sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13, so that you cannot sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. You cannot sin in your spirit. It's sinless. It's perfected. It's sealed. So if those things be true, why do you need to confess your sin? Here's the reason I believe, and here's what this is talking about, is that even though your spirit is sealed and God is a spirit, John 4:24 says God is a spirit and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So therefore, even though I may sin out here in my physical body, my spirit isn't contaminated by that. I don't lose my salvation. I am not out of fellowship with God. God is looking at me and fellowshipping with me through the Spirit. So that's all done and it's perfected forever. But Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Every time you yield yourself to sin, you just throw open a door to the devil to come into your life to steal, kill, and to destroy. John 10 says that that's the only thing that the thief comes for is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Every time you go live in sin, you give Satan an inroad into your physical body, into your mind, into your emotions. He doesn't penetrate the seal. It doesn't affect your spirit. You're still sanctified and perfected forever. And God looks at you in the spirit. And so therefore you can still have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, but you are letting Satan into your life and he's got a legal right to be there because you cooperated with him.
That's right.
How do you deal with that? How do you get rid of that? I believe that that's what 1 John 1, 9 is talking about. You have just given Satan a free shot at you. How do you repent? How do you get rid of it? You just confess that's sin. The word confess here in 1 John 1:9 means to say the same thing. In other words, you were saying, God, I know that you told me to walk in love with people, but I'm angry at this person, and I don't care what your word says. I'm in bitterness. I am not going to forgive them. And so you go your way thinking your way is better than what God says. If you do that, Satan is going to eat your lunch and pop the bag. You don't want that. You can tell that a few people have heard me say this before. And so if you give Satan that kind of inroad into your life, what do? Are you just trapped? Because after all, you yielded to him, and to whom you yield yourself, his servant you are, to whom you obey. No, if you will confess, say the same thing and say, whoops, God, you know what? Your way was right. My way was wrong. I repent. You turn away from that and you confess it, that God, that was sin. Well, then this forgiveness and this sanctification and purity that's been in your spirit all along, now you release that sanctifying, holy power that was in your spirit to come out and sanctify you in the flesh. I believe that 1 John 1:9 is talking about how to cleanse and sanctify your flesh, not your spirit. Your spirit is born again by one offering. You retain your relationship with God, but you need to repent and confess things to get Satan off your case. Here's an example of this. I was in Lima, Ohio, and this has been 25 years ago or something, and I was holding a meeting, and there was a woman that came up, and she had arthritis, and she was on a walker, and she was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 rows back, and I bet you it took her 20 minutes, 30 minutes to walk to the front. This woman was so bad with arthritis, she could barely stand, and I mean, she would just barely scoot like this, and she was just barely moving. So she came forward. I ministered to her just briefly and prayed for her, and I grabbed her walker away from her, and I said, now, walk. And I grabbed her hands, and she didn't want to walk. She hurt, and so she was just barely moving. And so I grabbed her hands and pulled her to where she was leaning like this, and then I started to let go. And she had to start moving. And boy, she started moving, trying to keep from falling. And all of a sudden, the pain was gone. This woman grabbed her walker and walked back and forth across the front of the stage. And she was totally healed. And everybody was just praising God. The next night, she came back on the walker, just as bad as she was the night before. And she says, before I got out to my car, all that pain was back. And I've been worse today than normal. She says, what happened? And so I told her, I said, there has to be like a root of that arthritis, something that is causing the arthritis that we didn't get rid of. We rebuked arthritis and got rid of the pain, but the root is there, and so the thing just cropped back up. And I said, let's pray and find out what the root of this problem is. And I mean, within seconds, the Lord spoke through me and said, you've got bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, and that's what's causing your arthritis. Now, this isn't so in every single case, so don't make a law out of this and come under bondage. But I believe that, you know, Jesus sometimes cast demons out of people to effect cure, and sometimes physical things aren't physical at all. They're spiritual. So anyway, I told her, I said, you've got unforgiveness in your heart. And this woman just started bawling, and she says, it's absolutely true. And you got to remember, this was 25 years ago, and this woman was probably 60 then. And 40 years before that, so that would have been 65 years ago, she was engaged to a guy, and he wanted to have sex with her before they got married, and she said no. And he says, look, we're going to go ahead and get married. It's okay. It's all right. And so anyway, he convinced her. She had sex with him, and then he took off. She got pregnant and had a child out of wedlock 60-something years ago, which was much, much more offensive than it is today. And she lost her family. They deserted her. She lost her friends. She got kicked out of church. And anyway, she suffered so much from this that she had spent 40 years hating this man every day of her life. And she had unforgiveness and bitterness in her heart. And as soon as I said that about you've got unforgiveness, she started crying. She told me this story and she says, I know exactly who it's towards. And I said, you know what? There's an anointing of God here right now to enable you to forgive this man and to let him go. And I said, if you don't, you won't get healed. Now, this needs a little explanation because some people say, well, see, God wouldn't heal her because there's sin in her life. No, that's not going to stop God, but it stops her from receiving. It's not God who's got his arms folded, "I won't heal you." No, God had already healed her. He healed her the night before and the pain was totally gone and she put the walker over her head. God's power flowed, but she had this door open to the devil that was the root of that disease. And so it came in. Satan is going to destroy you if you give him an opportunity. So she needed to repent of her unforgiveness, not because God wouldn't love her, but because she was giving Satan a direct inroad into her life. And so I prayed with her, and she just, I mean, from her heart, she forgave this guy. "God, I forgive him." And she started blessing him. "Lord, I pray that you'd bless him. I pray that his life would prosper." And instead of hatred, she started blessing him. And I said, "Now I can pray with you in that arthritis and leave." She says, "No need." And she grabbed her walker and put it over her head. And she walked down the aisle. And we had three or four more nights of that meeting. And she came every night and was just fine during the rest of that meeting. Now see, that's an example, I believe, of what 1 John 1:9 is talking about. This woman, God loved her and his power was flowing towards her, but Satan had free access to her because she was yielding unto him. Again, Romans 6:16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If you, through sin, are opening up a door to the devil, God still loves you because God is a spirit and God is looking at you in the spirit. And your spirit has been sealed and it's still holy and pure. And God can fellowship with you even though you are living in sin. I know that that makes some people's skin crawl. But it's true. Because all of us are in varying degrees of sin. None of us are doing everything exactly right. And again, if you use God's perspective, if you keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, you become guilty of all. If you think that God won't fellowship, can't have a relationship with any person who's got sin in their life, then God wouldn't have fellowship with anybody. Because we all sin in some way.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK156 titled "Nagging Questions" when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net.
I'd like to thank all of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, we are sharing things that are changing people's lives. We are having a huge response. We have over 35,000 contacts per month, and that's not including our website, which averages over 15,000 contacts per day. We're reaching a lot of people. People's lives are being changed, and I couldn't do that if it wasn't for those of you who are partners with us. So I want to thank you, and I just want to mention to the rest of you, if you are being blessed, if you recognize the potential blessing that this could be to other people, would you help us to reach out with the gospel? We need to increase our outreach. We've got opportunities, more opportunities, and we've got finances. So pray about it and then become a partner with us today.